Welcome to HN Pod. Today is September 27, 2025, and this is episode number 167.
We've got a great lineup for you today. We'll start with a gorgeous WebGL game that has everyone mesmerized, despite some tricky controls. Then we'll dive into Typest, a project that's seriously being called a LaTeX replacement. And we have a huge real-world success story to back it up.
After that, a travelogue about Greenland that's being called a beautiful nightmare. We'll also look at SSH3, a new take on Secure Shell that uses HTTP/3 for faster connections, and why its name is causing so much debate.
And finally, a cautionary tale about a malicious NPM package that was secretly stealing thousands of emails, and what it says about the new world of AI assistants.
Let's get right into it. First up, an article with 645 points titled, A WebGL Game Where You Deliver Messages on a Tiny Planet. The link takes you straight to the game at messenger.abeto.co.
And this thing is just beautiful. It's a serene, peaceful game where you run around a small, stylized planet, talking to characters and delivering messages. The art style is fantastic, the music is calming, and the whole experience is incredibly fluid. The fact that it runs so well in a web browser, especially on a mobile device, is genuinely impressive.
The Hacker News comments are full of praise for the aesthetics. The top comment from Firefox D just gushes about the font, the art, the fluidity on mobile. They said they were too mesmerized to be mad that they couldn't figure out how to deliver packages at first.
That was a common theme. A lot of people, myself included, ran around for a few minutes completely lost. The trick is to find the characters who have a little dialogue bubble with three dots over their head. You click on them, they give you a task, and then you go find the package or person to deliver to. It's not explained at all, which led to some initial confusion.
One commenter, Levitating, had a great insight into why it might run so well on mobile. They think the curvature of the tiny planet is a clever optimization because it naturally limits how many models are on screen at any given time. It's a really smart piece of design.
The game is also multiplayer, which surprised a lot of people. You see other players running around as fellow messengers, but there's no chat. Communication is limited to a small set of emojis, which immediately drew comparisons to games like Journey and Sky from that game company. Commenters were really encouraging the author to lean into that, creating ways for players to help each other non-verbally.
Yeah, and some people actually preferred the lack of chat. One user mentioned playing it side by side with their 9-year-old niece and how chat would have made it inappropriate. It keeps the experience wholesome and focused.
But it wasn't all a praise. The one major complaint was about the controls, especially the camera. On mobile and even on desktop, people found it hard to control. A user named Getting Over It said the controls were on par with a bad PC port of Sonic Adventure, which is a pretty deep cut for old school gamers, but perfectly describes that feeling of the camera having a mind of its own.
Exactly. You're trying to run straight, and the camera just swings around wildly. It's a shame because the rest of the experience is so polished. It feels like a project that's 95% of the way to being a masterpiece, but that last 5% in the control scheme is a real point of friction.
Definitely. It's still an incredible achievement for WebGL, though. Someone in the comments even recognized the author's style from a previous viral project called Summer Afternoon. And there's even a little Easter egg character that appears in both. Just a stunning piece of interactive art on the web.
All right. Next up, we have an article from LWN.net titled Typest, a Possible LaTeX Replacement, with 622 points.
For anyone who's ever had to write a scientific paper, a thesis, or any complex technical document, you know LaTeX. It's the gold standard for typesetting, especially for math, but it is famously difficult to work with. We're talking about huge installations, painfully slow compile times, and error messages that are basically riddles.
This article breaks down how Typest, a newer system written in Rust, aims to solve all of that. It has a much simpler markdown-like syntax. It has a sane, integrated scripting language, unlike LaTeX's arcane macro system. And most importantly, it's fast. It uses incremental compilation, so when you save your document, you get a live preview that updates almost instantly.
The comments on this one were fantastic, because we got a real-world high-stakes success story. The top comment is from Mr. Karan, who works at Zerodha, a massive Indian financial services company. They were using LaTeX to generate over 1.5 million PDFs daily. They were fighting cryptic memory errors and huge Docker images.
And their switch to Typed was, in their words, a massive win. The single static binary meant their Docker images became tiny. Compile times were 3 to 4 times faster. And for really huge documents, they mentioned a 2,000-page document full of tables. The compile time went from 18 minutes with Lua LaTeX down to just 1 minute with Typed.
That is an incredible testimonial. It's not just a hobbyist saying, this is neat. It's a company at massive scale saying, this saved us time, money, and developer sanity. That's how a new technology gets adopted.
The comments also got into a broader discussion about alternatives. People brought up Pandoc, but as others pointed out, Pandoc often just uses LaTeX as a backend for PDF generation, so you're not escaping the underlying problems. Though, one user did mention that Pandoc now works with Typed too, which is great to hear.
There was also a bit of a debate about whether LaTeX is boring tech. One camp says yes, it's been around forever, and it just works. The other camp, which I tend to agree with, says it's notoriously finicky and has way too many rough edges to be considered truly boring.
Right. Boring tech should be reliable and predictable. LaTeX is powerful, but predictable is not the first word that comes to mind when you're debugging a floating figure that just disappeared for no reason.
Overall, the sentiment is extremely positive for Typed. It seems to be hitting that sweet spot of preserving the high-quality output of LaTeX while dramatically improving the developer experience. For anyone who's ever wrestled with LaTeX, this project is a huge breath of fresh air.
Moving on to our third story, Greenland is a Beautiful Nightmare, a blog post by Matt Duggan that has 398 points.
This is a fantastic piece of writing. It's a personal travelogue from an American living in Denmark who takes a trip to Greenland. He goes in with low expectations, comparing his idea of Greenland to driving through Indiana, a blank state you pass through to get somewhere better.
And the trip starts out as a complete disaster. His 5-hour flight gets to the airport in Greenland but can't land because of fog. The pilot announces they have enough fuel to circle for 5 hours to wait for it to clear.
Which is just insane. After 3 hours of flying in circles, they give up, fly to Iceland to refuel, and then fly all the way back to Denmark, a 15-hour journey to end up exactly where they started. The most telling detail is that the native Greenlanders on the flight were completely unfazed. This is just a normal part of traveling there.
When he finally gets there, his description of the place is so vivid. He talks about Nuuk, the capital, and how the people are incredibly calm and unstressed, but the environment itself is fundamentally hostile to human life. No trees, just snow and exposed rock. The sun is out all day in the summer, turning hotel rooms into ovens, but the air outside is freezing.
The comment section really resonated with this theme. User Ayagur shared a beautiful reflection on visiting remote places like northern Norway. They said, "I feel small, irrelevant, in the face of brutal, powerful nature. Feeling small made me feel calm." So many others echoed this, talking about trips to Iceland, Svalbard, and the Faroe Islands. It seems this feeling of being humbled by nature is something a lot of tech-focused people actively seek out.
We also got a wonderful comment from John Locke IV, a Dane who actually grew up in Greenland. He shared a memory of watching a local tow his broken-down car to the mechanic using a team of sled dogs. He just stuck his head out the window shouting commands to the dogs. To the Greenlanders, this was completely normal. It's a perfect illustration of the pragmatism he describes.
That anecdote is amazing. The whole thread is full of people sharing their experiences with the beautiful hostility of the far north. It really reinforces the author's beautiful nightmare title. It's a place that is difficult and unforgiving, but the experience of being there is profound and changes your perspective. A really great read.
Okay, let's switch gears back to deep tech. Our next story is SSH3, Faster and Rich Secure Shell Using HTTP/3 with 290 points. This is a link to a GitHub repository.
So this is a project that reimagines the SSH protocol, but builds it on top of modern web standards, specifically QUIC and HTTP3. The headline benefit is speed, not for throughput, but for establishing the connection. They claim it takes only 3 network round trips compared to the 5 to 7 that traditional SSH can take. This makes starting a new session feel noticeably faster, especially on high-latency connections.
It also leverages HTTP for authentication, which means you could potentially log into your servers using things like OAuth or OpenID Connect. Think login with Google for your shell. And because it's running over UDP via QUIC, it opens up possibilities like UDP port forwarding and better handling of network changes, like switching from Wi-Fi to cellular.
But the Hacker News comments focused almost entirely on one thing, the name.
The name. Calling it SSH3 is a bold move. It implies it's the official successor to SSH2, which it is not. The top comment from P. Sanford voices this frustration, saying it feels like some rando making a repo called Windows 12.
To their credit, the authors seem to have gotten the message. Right at the top of the README, there's a note saying, SSH3 is probably going to change its name. They acknowledge that the changes are too radical to be integrated into popular SSH implementations like OpenSSH. The draft specification has already been renamed to Remote Terminals over HTTP 3.
That didn't stop the comments from turning into a classic HN bike shedding session on what the new name should be. We saw suggestions like SSH/3, SHTTP, QuickShell, SSOH for SSH over HTTP, you name it.
It's fun, but it highlights a real point about branding and open source. A good name communicates intent. SSH3 communicates succession, which is misleading. Something like SSOH3 or SSH/3 better communicates that it's SSH plus HTTP3, a new thing built on an existing one.
A few technically minded commenters did ask why you need the HTTP/3 layer at all. Why not just run SSH directly over QUIC? And the answer seems to be that the HTTP layer provides a lot of useful machinery for free, like standardized authentication flows and headers.
So it's a very cool project with some genuinely interesting ideas, but they definitely fumbled the naming. It's a good lesson. If you're going to build on the legacy of a beloved protocol, you have to be very careful how you position yourself.
And for our final story today, the postmark backdoor that's downloading emails, a blog post from Koi Security that has 210 points.
This is a classic supply chain attack story, but with a modern AI twist. The article details a malicious NPM package called Postmark MCP. MCP stands for Model Controller Protocol, and it's a way for AI assistants to use external tools. In this case, the tool was for sending emails using the Postmark API.
The developer built trust over time. For 15 versions, the package worked perfectly. It was legitimate, people started using it, and it was getting about 1,500 downloads a week. Then, in version 1.016, the developer added a single malicious line of code.
Just one line. BCC, redacted at giftshop.club. Every single email sent using this tool was now being secretly copied to the attacker's server. We're talking password resets, invoices, sensitive internal communications, everything.
The article argues that this exposes a fundamental flaw in the way we're building tools for AI agents. We give them these MCP servers with God mode permissions, and the AI just uses them blindly. An AI can't tell that a BCC field is suspicious. It just sees that the email was sent successfully and moves on. There's no security model, no sandbox, no oversight.
The Hacker News comments had a very interesting split reaction. The top comment, from Dilettante, was deeply cynical. Basically saying, did you know that if you point a gun at your foot and pull the trigger, you shoot yourself in the foot? Are people really this oblivious?
A very typical HN response. Of course, running untrusted code is dangerous. This isn't new. And they have a point. This is the same supply chain problem we've been dealing with in NPM for years.
But other commenters pushed back, arguing that AI amplifies the problem. Before, a developer might install a package and use it occasionally. Now, you install an MCP tool, and your AI assistant might call it hundreds or thousands of times a day, autonomously, in the background. The scale of the exposure is much, much larger.
There was a debate about whether MCP itself is the problem. Some argued it's just a protocol, an interface. The real problem is software trust in distribution. but others made a compelling case that the intended use case of MCP, letting a non-sentient, non-skeptical AI agent run powerful tools, is what's fundamentally unsafe.
Right. We're building systems designed for autonomous execution without building the corresponding systems for autonomous verification or security. A user brought up a story from a few months ago about an AI coding assistant that wiped a company's production database. It's the same pattern, giving powerful tools to an agent that has no real understanding of the consequences.
The story ends with the developer deleting the package from NPM after being contacted, but that doesn't fix anything for the people who already have it installed. Those infected versions are still out there, quietly forwarding emails. It's a stark reminder that as we rush to integrate AI into every workflow, we're creating entirely new and very dangerous attack surfaces.
And that wraps up our stories for today. We saw a beautiful WebGL game, a promising replacement for LaTeX, a harrowing trip to Greenland, a new take on SSH, and a serious warning about the security of AI agents.
As always, thanks for tuning in to HN Pod. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News.